Well, happy Easter. For centuries, God's people have greeted one another on this Resurrection Sunday with a simple welcome. I will say, Christ is risen, and you will respond by saying, He is risen indeed. Ready? Christ is risen. Christ is risen. And indeed, He has. It is so good to see hundreds of you who've gathered out on our lawn today to worship our resurrected Savior. If you're a guest or a visitor to Open Door, it just means a lot that you took the time to be here on this Easter Sunday. I hope that you will leave blessed, and I hope you'll leave changed. We have some water bottles on the table with the donuts. If there's a need for you at any time to get hydrated, then please don't feel bad at all to go and grab some. We don't have allergy pills for you. I hope you took those before you came here this morning. Worshiping on this lawn brings back some very fond memories for me. Although last year on Easter was one of the most difficult days of my ministry life, because I had to sit in that auditorium by myself in a dark room and address you all by way of a camera. And it was a very difficult morning for me. Soon we began to gather on this lawn, and what a year it has been. So many things have changed in one year. The word COVID will be always remembered by us. We'll never forget it. That word means so much more than an infectious disease, doesn't it? That word has become a cultural icon for all of us. It's become a cultural symbol that represents seclusion and fear and isolation. Our world has changed. Many have suffered physically this past year, but many more have suffered spiritually and socially. But we are here this morning to celebrate the Christ who is greater than everything that COVID represents. We are here to celebrate His victory over infectious diseases and over isolation and over depression and over despair and over death. We live and we die. He died and He lived. And that's what we're here to celebrate today. And even though COVID has brought a lot of despair and a lot of hopelessness this morning, I want to encourage you with a word of hope. But I do need to ask you, what are the things in your life right now that are causing you to feel hopeless? Your own physical condition, a relationship, circumstances of your life, work, family, what is it? Things going on in our country, what are the things that are tempting you to lose hope? The Apostle Peter has a word for us today, and what he's going to tell us is that because we have a risen Savior, we have been given a living hope. And along with that living hope, we have a future inheritance in heaven. Please follow along. 1 Peter chapter 1. I've been preaching through 1 Peter. I want to go back to chapter 1 and pick it up at verse 3, where the Apostle Peter is addressing the exiled Christians who are scattered throughout the known world. Many of those Christians were suffering by way of persecution. And yet Peter begins his letter to them by blessing God. And this is what he says. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I mean, what could be a more important word that Peter would give to Christians who found themselves as exiles and Christians that were struggling by way of persecution and Christians that were tempted by despair than this word, bless God. Regardless of your circumstances, bless God. Every day, we should begin by blessing God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, because it is from our Heavenly Father that all blessings come. He is the fount where every blessing that you have received flows. Please don't grant the blessings of your life upon yourself. Don't credit anyone else. Every good gift comes from the Father of lights above. And so Peter says to the exiled church, you give blessings to God and you give blessings to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all Peter is doing there is he is telling the Christians who are scattered around the known world to do the very same thing that is taking place in heaven right now. Revelation 5, all of the heavenly hosts who find themselves surrounding the throne room of God are saying this to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and power forever and ever. We bless God because he's blessed us. If you've been blessed by God, say amen. We bless God because he first blessed us and because he alone is worthy of our praise. And it is Jesus who is worthy today, because again, back to Revelation 5, what the heavenly creatures are saying right now as we sit on this lawn in worship, they are saying this to Jesus. He was the one slain for our sin to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. If heaven can bless God continually, so can we, friends. And we do bless you, God, on this Resurrection Sunday. And we bless you, Jesus, because you alone are worthy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter is going to be very specific and give one really important reasons why we should be blessing God. Again in verse 3, because according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. Because of the rich mercy of God that so loved us, because God did not desire for us to perish, he didn't want to condemn us, he wanted to save us, and so in his mercy, he causes us to be born again. That means we have been given new life. That means that we have been given complete renewal. It is God who causes our salvation. It is the will of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, by the power of his Spirit that can take a dead life and a dead soul and breathe life into it, making us to be born again, that we are saved. And that's why we bless him. Because 100% of your salvation comes from God. And so, as Peter is blessing God for all of the mercy that we have received, there are two things in particular that Peter wants to focus on. One, the fact that having been born again, we now have hope. But not just hope. If you look closely, it's a living hope. And not only do we have a living hope, we have in the future storing up for us at this moment our eternal inheritance. Yes, the gospel is about redemption. The gospel is about resurrection. The gospel is also about restoration. And as good as we have it here today, blessing God, I'm telling you, it's going to be much better when Christ returns. I want to talk about this living hope with you this morning, because God has blessed us with a living hope through the power of Christ's resurrection. Now, the reason why your hope is alive if you're in Christ is because Jesus is alive. If Jesus were still dead, you would have no hope. You wouldn't do merely what everyone else does when they use the word hope and just delve into matters of wishful thinking. You see, there's a difference. When most people talk about hope, it's merely wishful thinking. Our hope is different because our hope is based on someone who died and rose again. These aren't simply dreams or selfish desires that so often do not come true. I mean, some of you here today, you do have hope, but to be honest, it's hope in something or circumstances outside of your control. You may hope that you get a promotion at work soon. You may hope that a relationship would work out. You may hope that your favorite sports team might win. If you're a UCLA fan, I apologize for that incredibly fortuitous and lucky shot last night. I went to bed. I had to see it as a rerun this morning. Some of you may hope for better health. You see, for most people, what they're really trying to do is hope for a better life. But to be honest, they don't know what that is. And friends, I gotta be honest with you. There's just no way that there could be so many people out on this lawn today that some of you are hoping for a better life. But if you'll consider this, I'm gonna tell you the truth. You really don't know what that is. But I'm gonna tell you what that better life is today. You see, for some, I know you're here, but I know you're struggling with hopelessness. The question is, what is it that you're placing your hope in? Is it yourself? Someone else? Everyone hopes, but not everyone's hopes are fulfilled. As Christians, we have hope and we have living hope because our hope is placed in the one who has proven himself to be faithful. The Christian hopes that his sins might be forgiven, and they are because of Jesus Christ. The Christian hopes that we might be accepted by God, even adopted by him, and our hope has been realized because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Christian hopes that they might finally find a sense of family. And that hope is realized because of the church that Jesus bought and paid for, died, and rose again to give victory through. As Christians, we live on mission with us, and we know that this is not our home, but our place in heaven is secure. As a matter of fact, because of the resurrection, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is ours to enjoy and ours to claim. And this hope is not just wishful thinking. Now, if Christ had not rose again, then that's all it would be, wishful thinking. But my friends, he died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. He's alive. Therefore, my hope is alive. My hope is a confident expectation that God will accomplish his perfect will in each and every life that he has caused to be born again. His will be done, that I might live holy as he is and imitate the life of his son, Jesus. That I can hope for is simply to follow in the footsteps of Jesus that will lead me all the way up to heaven. That's all I hope for. I don't hope for riches. I don't hope for promotions. The only thing that I hope for is that I might follow those footsteps as they lead me all the way to heaven one day. Now, I'm going to tell you again that without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you would be listening to a fool today. Without the resurrection, none of us would have hope. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the fulcrum of every believer's faith. And let me say it the way the Apostle Paul said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If Jesus died and remained dead, then our faith is useless and all of our beliefs are phony. If the resurrection is not real, then we are to be the most pitied of all people. But if the resurrection is real, then we are to be the most honored and noble of all people. And if Jesus died, was buried, and came back to life again, then our faith is purposeful. And we can rest in the promise that everything that God has for us are true and amen because of Jesus. We have a living hope because we have a living Savior. If Jesus didn't rise again, if it ain't true, go home. That's my version. It's ridiculous that you're here this morning. What a horrible hobby Christianity would be if Jesus didn't die, was buried, and rose again. This isn't a hobby. This is something that we have given our lives to, amen, on this one single fact, that a man died on Calvary's cross, and 3 days later, multiple people witnessed that he rose again. And one of those individuals is a man by the name of Peter. This is not mythology. Peter was an actual person just like you and me. He wrote this letter, but let me take you back and tell you about the story of how he witnessed that first Easter Sunday. Peter was a man that Jesus had called to be his follower. He struggled, and he struggled with his faith. The night that Jesus was arrested and betrayed, Peter found himself there close to Jesus as he was being tried and accused. And just as Jesus was betrayed by Judas, Peter also betrayed Jesus that night. Three times he had the opportunity to confess his allegiance to Jesus, and three times he denied him. And then Peter had to experience with the other disciples, their master, being nailed to a cross and suffer and die. Peter knew that Jesus died on that Roman cross. Peter knew that Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. And on that day, Peter's life was turned upside down. He was lost and he was afraid. But then his friend John records what happened on that next Sunday morning. Let me read from John chapter 20. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, because the women were always more righteous than the men, she came out to the tomb early because she just wanted to go and just be near her master. It was still dark. But she saw that the stone had taken away from the tomb. So she runs back and she finds Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. That was John who's writing this. And she said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple and they were going towards the tomb. They knew where Jesus' body was and both of them were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw linen cloths lying there. But he didn't go in. Simon Peter came right on in, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there. And he saw the face cloth, which had been around Jesus' head. It wasn't lying with the other linen cloths. It had been neatly folded up and placed by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, then he went in. And he saw and he believed. As far as yet at this moment, they didn't fully understand what the scriptures were teaching, that he must rise from the dead. So the disciples went back to their homes. Now, I have no earthly idea why John felt it so important that he tells all of us, and for all eternity's sake, that he's faster than Peter. We have recorded now and forever that he can outrun Peter. We got that. What's more important is what they found. The stone had been rolled away. But Jesus' body had not been taken out. He hadn't been whisked away, because what they found were the burial cloths that had so meticulously been wrapped around Jesus. And Peter saw a piece of cloth, bloodied, that had been wrapped around his master's face. But now it was laying beside the burial cloths, neatly folded and set aside. No, Jesus' body had not been stolen away. The claws would have still been attached to that dead body. No, Jesus came back to life. He didn't need the clothes of a dead man anymore. He didn't need the burial mask of a dead man anymore, because death was not strong enough to hold him back. He just went right through those dead clothes. And he took on the clothing of God's righteousness and glory. And he began to appear to those precious women, to the disciples, again and again and again. It was Peter who had this eyewitness resurrection of Christ, and it transformed his life. Peter became so convinced of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ that he never denied Jesus again, even to the point where he also was forced to suffer on a cross. They hung him upside down, and he died confessing Jesus is Lord. Amen? All of Jesus' disciples believed because they saw the resurrected master. Even Thomas, remember old Thomas, who doubted, who demanded proof, and Jesus appeared to him, and he showed him the scars in his hands, and he said, go ahead, touch it. Touch my side. And Thomas, the disciple, looked at Jesus, and he said, my Lord and my God. Now that's a miracle, that anyone would claim Jesus to be both Lord and God. And Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But how blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. How blessed are you? The 2,000 years later, here we sit. And we didn't see it, but we believe it. Do you know that after 2,000 years, if even one of the hundreds of you who are sitting here today, just one, if even one of you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that would be a miracle. And now I'm going to ask you something, and I don't expect everybody to raise their hand, but I'm going to ask you, if you believe that Jesus rose from the grave, you raise your hand. Now look around. Look around. That is nothing other than a miracle of God's grace. Because for 2,000 years, the fact of the resurrection has been doubted and denied. Skeptics have tried to do away with our faith, and yet our faith continues to persist. How is that possible if it wasn't true? No, my friends, the belief that we have been given, the belief that we have, and the confession that we are willing to make that Jesus is Lord and God is the result of our living hope. The reason why you can raise your hand is because your hope is alive. It's not wishful thinking. You have received the miracle of faith. And one day, if God wills that you taste death, then the moment you do, you'll be with him, and then you will see him face to face. If you don't believe that Jesus rose from the grave, and one day you taste death, you'll never have that opportunity. And for this, I need to pause for a moment, and I need to address those of you who have yet to make your confession that is your Savior and your Lord. Let me tell you the truth. It's something you already know. You're not perfect. The Bible calls that sin. You have sinful thoughts. You've committed sinful deeds. Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glory. But you see, this is the good news. The Bible says it is while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I gotta believe that there's some of you right now who do believe. And you're thinking, I believe. And for the first time, I believe. What do I do with this belief? Well, you confess it. Just like our sisters and our brother confessed it today. They confessed it. They started telling people publicly, I'm a Christian. And we want you to confess it. And we want you to let us know. And we want to come alongside you as a church family and show you what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If you are believing right now, if your life has been changed, don't leave without talking to us. Let us know so that we can begin this journey with you. The Apostle Paul said this to the Christian church, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him so that your life may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a living hope because we have a living Savior. And we also have an internal inheritance that Christ is preparing for us. I just quickly want to end with verse 4 and 5. We have been given this inheritance, verse 4. So very different than any riches that you would have in this life or on this earth. This inheritance is, according to the Bible, imperishable. It's undefiled. It's unfading. It is kept in heaven for you. You, by the way, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You think your salvation is good right now. You wait till you get to heaven and enjoy salvation. Yes, salvation will take on a whole new meaning then. And God is guarding our salvation and preparing us for that moment. Our future inheritance is so much greater than anything in this life or on this earth. Our future inheritance should allow us to receive all of the challenges in this life and smile with the joy of Jesus. Things like the culture that COVID has created should never take away a Christian's joy. It should never induce fear or despair. Not if you have a living hope and know that your inheritance is being stored up for you. Our home in heaven is secure. Our future is assured. This salvation that we have been given is not being guarded by the strongest of guards on this earth. Do you understand? Your salvation is being guarded by God himself. How could anyone take, not even Satan himself? You see, God's power is there to sustain us now and to see us through until we get to that final day when Christ returns. Friends, we've been given a living hope because we have a living Savior. And that living Savior right now is still at work. He is preparing a place for us. And one day soon, I pray he will return. So I'm going to ask you one more time. What are the circumstances that are tempting you to be hopeless? And now, after all of this, why? Why would you even be tempted with despair or depression or isolation or fear? Why? Jesus is alive. Our hope is alive. And our inheritance is assured. Open Door Church, and all of the guests who are here today, I pray that the power of our resurrected Savior would grant you living hope as we await our eternal inheritance. Let me pray with you. Father, because of the resurrection of Jesus, the worst thing that could ever happen in our life is nothing compared to what awaits us in heaven. Because of the resurrection, our greatest fears are nothing compared to the faith that we have because of what Jesus has already accomplished. We have a living hope because today we celebrate and we bless a living Savior. Father, by your Spirit's power, would you bring anyone who needs today and anyone who in this moment is asking for salvation, you bring them new life. And we want to celebrate that with them very soon. We celebrate those who are baptized today, but we are now even celebrating all the decisions that are being made that we don't even know about yet. People who are putting away despair and people who are finally burying fear, isolation, and now we're claiming the power of Christ in our lives. And we're going to live, and we're going to live for him. And Father, may Open Door Church be such a witness to this community that this next year, when we gather, so many more lives will become a part of our family and enjoy the living hope that we enjoy. We pray all of this in the saving and resurrecting name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen.